Hey there, do you dream of escaping into a book? Maybe your escape includes a cozy cabin in the mountains or a magical town along the coast. Either way, you're in the right place. Welcome to Literary Escapes with me, Becky. This year on the podcast, we're exploring the United States. So every week I'm going to bring you a new book set in a different state. So let's see where we're going today.
Welcome back to the Literary Escapes podcast. I am Becky Lee, your host, and today we have our next stop on the Read Across the U.S. Book Club, and our author is Casey Lane. Welcome, Casey. Happy to have you here.
Happy to see you.
Yeah, so we are stopping in Alabama this week. So do you live in Alabama?
I do. Born and raised. The more I talk, the more it'll come out. I would say 90% has been rural. I had a 6-month stint in Birmingham, but most of it's been either Tuscaloosa or Fayette counties. And most of that's the rural parts of the county.
Okay.
Not that Fayette County has a metropolis, but so rural Alabama, just like my books, it's very authentic. Yes.
Oh, that's awesome. I love that. I love when that's the case for authors.
Yes.
When what you're writing is what you're living. And I think that's really cool.
Yes.
So very cool. So tell me what you love about Alabama.
Well, like I don't have a live somewhere else to compare it to, I guess, but I've, you know, traveled other places and it's just always, even when I moved out of, even to a bigger city, it just didn't have that. I love nature. I love being able to just be in the outdoors and just to get out in the quiet. I love to go on my back deck in the mornings and just hear the birds and the, you know, maybe a random log truck, but other than that, like birds and dogs and, you know, my kids. And I just like the peacefulness of being outside. Like yeah. I said, I was raised and living like that. So I don't, some people get scared of that. I get more in the big city. Like, I don't like the noise. I don't like the pollution. I just love how God intended nature to be. And you get a lot of that in the South. And I feel like you get a lot of genuine people because for the most part, they'll give you the shirt off your, you know, their back if they need to. They will, and my husband's a great example of this. They will, you know, somebody's broke down. They'll just stop and help. Doesn't matter where we're going. He's like, I know how to help. You know, there's a lot of that. And on the flip side, they'll just let you know what they think, good or bad. So
it's true.
Another genuineness. I always joke that if you've ever been around older ladies in church, a lot of prayer requests are just, you know, laced with gossip. But
it's true.
You never have to guess what people think. And for the most part, they genuinely want to help you. So I really love that about, and you know people. You actually know people by name. I always say it's kind of like living in Cheers without all the bars. You know, they
exactly,
all know
that's small town.
Yes, it's
South,
not like
you know everybody.
Yeah, like when you go visit a friend that lives in a bigger city, or you go stay somewhere for the weekend, and you just run in, you don't run into anybody you know.
It's hard to go to the grocery store and not run into someone I know. So
exactly.
I get that.
Yes. Now, where are you?
I'm in Florida, in Central Florida, and it's a small town.
Okay.
We have a small university here, which brings interesting influx of kids.
Yes.
But you know, all
that
the locals, we pretty much know everybody.
Yeah.
So,
and if someone's not a local, you pick up on that right away. Well, who's
totally.
That? Where did that come from?
Yeah. Ooh, we don't know you.
Exactly. Yes.
The stranger.
You get it.
I love that. So do you live near the Gulf Coast?
No, but ironically, when you said Florida, my sister and brother-in-law currently live in Panama City.
Oh, okay.
And they're looking to move to Gulf Shores, which is, now I grew up going to Gulf Shores. We still go once every year or two for vacations and Orange Beach, all that. My kids love it. And
nice.
Just love the beachy. I have one novella set in Orange Beach, and I, you know, would like to write more sometime, like, because that's just our beach, and it's, you know, very pretty sand, very, well, you know, you're down there.
I've heard that Alabama beaches are really, really nice. And
yes, sand is very white.
I love that. I love the Florida Gulf Coast beaches better than the Atlantic coast beaches. Mm-hmm. Yeah, for that same reason. They're calmer, they're, you know, not sharks. And,
the furthest away I've been, other than we took our honeymoon in Hawaii years and years and years ago, which now the water cannot compare anywhere in Hawaii. I said, that's what heaven has to look like.
Hawaii is beautiful.
That's on a different level.
Yes.
But I've been to Myrtle Beach and I was like, I just feel like our area has much prettier beaches.
Yeah. So, yeah. Gulf Coast beaches are special. Yes, and
they are.
People haven't visited one. There's a whole lot of Gulf Coast that you can go to.
And it still has that small town feel to it, even though it's touristy. So I like that.
Even in Florida, the Gulf Coast beaches, there's a lot of smaller towns that are there, which is really nice. So
yeah, when we visit my sister, you know, that was cool because she could tell us about restaurants and shopping that maybe wasn't as publicized as, you know, you get online, you know, and Google where to. It wasn't as touristy, and I love finding places like that.
Yes, so, same, yeah. Same. Mm-hmm. That's awesome. So how did you become an author?
Well, this is cliche, but I have been writing my entire life. Like my mom, and I've got to find it, she showed me years ago, she keeps everything, but she showed me years ago, she had stapled together like this little folded, I guess it was like construction paper, like colored. And it was a few pages folded, and I had drawn and wrote like a little story, and I was like four. Like I could barely read all the, like I've just always been a storyteller of some sort. And I went to college into journalism, and I love talking to people, finding out there's like, I'm that annoying person. I'll sit beside you at a wedding and want to know how you met your husband or, you know, what you do for a living and why. Like some people just kind of turn away and eat their cake, and then some people like it. I kind of like, which you are, but I just like generally knowing stories. I've always been that, and I've always loved interviewing people and writing stories and coming up with my own. So journalism, I always had this knack in the back of my head, like I want to write a book.
Okay.
So when I started freelancing, when I started having kids and didn't want to be in an office as an editor anymore, it kind of just, I got tired of writing blogs
back.
And I'm like, if I don't write a book, I was probably 41 now. I was probably about 37, 38. I'm like, if I don't start just tinkering with this, it's never going to happen. And that's when I started actually researching and, you know, the tropes and the things that I read, but I didn't know the mechanics behind it and really trying. So
that's funny. I have been doing, you know, the podcast interview with authors for 3 years now, and I've talked to, you know, well over 100 authors easily. And it honestly never occurred to me to write a book.
Oh, wow.
And I mean, I've heard so many stories because it wasn't, you know, I wasn't writing since I was a kid.
Yeah.
And the cool thing about being an author is some people come from a writing background. You know, mm-hmm. they might have a MFA or journalist background, mm-hmm. but some people come from a legal background or a teacher background or, you know, whatever, and they can come from anywhere and it's all okay. And I just had this idea, and I think, you know, Carrie Evelyn.
Yes. Yes.
I called her up and I'm like, I got this idea last night. What should I do with it? And she was like, you need to write it. And I'm like, but I'm not a writer. And she's like, that's okay. Just write it.
But I believe our personal and background, just all the experience. There's a website because I wrote one of my recurring characters is a sheriff. So I'll just small town sheriff, but I'll look into stuff just to how to, you know, how this would work or that. There's a website or maybe it's just Facebook group called Cops and Writers.
Oh.
And the guy that started it was a cop and now writes books. And it's like people will ask stuff like, how can I make, you know, how would this actually play out in court? Or how would you, and it's cool because that, to me, that brings an authenticity that someone that doesn't have that background, you know, could not have known.
I love that.
Yeah.
I've heard that there are like these workshops, for lack of a better word, that you can go to spend a weekend with like cops or firefighters and see their world.
Yeah. Like a job shadow.
Yeah. And they put you in, you know, different scenarios. They have workshops with you. And That just seems so cool.
That's cool to me. I think that's why I like to talk to people, because I just, they're, you know, that I love finding out things that are just foreign to me, like how they work. So,
yeah. Yeah. I love that. So how many books do you have out now?
Oh, that's the big question. I should write down a number. Because I always get confused. There's the books I've written and the books that I've actually put out.
Right, right.
Okay, I've got five beside me, because the series, I'm going to talk about the book later. 6, 7, 8, 9. Okay. I would say 9 full length and awesome. 1, 2, 6, 7 novellas.
With I love the release. That.
And I'm writing my 10th full length right now. So
that's fantastic. So tell me about the series that you're representing this week.
This is my most popular series. It's called The Bama Boys. And I'm just going to do a little, we'll talk about the first book, but I'm just going to do a little flyby here.
I love the title of the series.
Thank you. Yes, Bama Boys. And that's basically what they are. They're just boys in Alabama who, for the most part, they don't really, you know, they're not really looking for love. They're kind of in their little roles of their career or their family. They're just kind of happy in their hometown like it is.
Mm-hmm. Just doing their thing.
Yes. And then, you know, there's different scenarios, like, you know, a girl comes into town that catches their eye, or, you know, they finally realize they're in love with their best friend and they need to do something about it before they lose her for good. Or, you know, they get, one of my favorite is, the scenario, like, I love forced proximity for some reason. Mm-hmm. That almost, so the last two that I've written in this series, well, I guess they all have some forced proximity, but these really do, because one's a guy, his grandpa is like, you cannot inherit my logging business unless you get married, because I want to carry on family legacy. So he gets a pretend marriage of convenience type thing. And then
that is such a fun trope.
Yes, I love it. That's one of my favorite to read.
Yeah.
And then another, he's injured. She's his masseuse. There's a lot of Phoebe off Friends vibes with that woman.
Oh, fun.
Friends. You'll be able to tell the kind of like TV and pop culture I like just by reading my book. There's a lot of Friends. I've been accused of writing Sweet Home Alabama fan fiction, which was a 1-star review, but I took it as a compliment. So,
yeah, book, like that's supposed a bad thing?
Yeah. And then the first book in this series has very much Zoe Hart and Wade Kinsella vibes off Heart of Dixie, which is my favorite show.
So, awesome. Yeah. That's very cool. So tell me about the first book.
Yes. Hunting for Love.
There's
actually a dedication in the back, and I linked to the website of a hunting camp in my husband's hometown, which is both of our home county. And shout out to them, White Tails of Alabama is somewhere in the back in the dedication acknowledgments. But
nice.
I interviewed Matthew Rushing, who's the one who takes people out hunting and all that. And because I wanted to know how that goes. And that this is Jack, and that's his job. He basically runs a hunting camp, and you go out and you stay in this nice cabin, and you eat your kill, you have your. It's kind of this thing for either avid hunters or someone from the city that wants to feel like
they're wannabe hunter. Yeah.
Yes, but they really need his help. And this is Bianca, which would be the Zoe Parker vibes. And she's in Atlanta. She's very career driven. Her dad owns like a money management hedge fund type company. They're always like helping grow businesses and acquire new businesses and that sort of thing. And she's trying to prove herself to her dad. And he's like, I got a big job I need to send you on. And she's like, anything, you know, anything. And she's expecting something you know, spectacular in the city, very much a city girl. And she gets sent to Applecart County, Alabama. Because there are two men trying to acquire land from Jack's hunting camp because they want to put an outdoors type store thing.
Okay.
You know, like your Bass Pro Shop.
Right.
Put some water here as a chain, that sort of thing. So it's just, she's trying to booker that deal. And Jack's one of those good old boys. It's like, I don't care how many zeros. This is my family.
This is my land. Yep.
I know they're a dime a dozen here. But so she's trying to work out that deal between two old redneck men from Texas who want to expand their hunting store to Alabama. Because Jack's land backs up to the interstate.
But that's awesome.
Kind of not buying. And of course, she's like, there's a line in there. It's on the back. It's like, I never knew hillbillies could be this hot. Like, he's, you know, he's, she's never met anyone like Jack. You know, it's like, he's the a man type, you know.
Yeah. Oh, that's
so
funny.
A lot of, and all my books are PG. Like, I probably the best thing I love is, I don't know if they're watching, but shout out to Miss Penny and Lynn and Bree. I use them in examples as my readers. Lynn's my friend my age. Miss Penny's her mom. And then Bree is a 16-year-old girl.
And oh, awesome.
Daughter. They swap. And I have several people tell me that. And I really like, because I, as a parent of a preteen and an 8-year-old, I always look for like TV shows or any kind of books on tape that we can,
together.
I can consume around them. So I try to make it where it's like, it's entertaining to my demographic, which is, would like. Then you can hand it to your mom without being embarrassed. Or
exactly.
Your father will see you in the living room and be like, what's that? And you're like, okay, well, here, I'll let you have it while you're done. I mean, that's just me. No, nothing gets anyone in their rights. Otherwise, that's just how my convictions.
That's, so, yeah, I'm the same. Yeah, when my kids started reading and they would sit next to me on the couch and kind of look over to see what was in my book, I switched over to Debbie Makehomer pretty quickly.
And it's nothing that, I'm not saying those other books, I've read some well-written and entertaining books like that, but it's like, there's something about getting to share it and you can all talk about it. And all. I just love that. But Hunting for Love is very much that fish out of water, opposites attract.
That's and such then a I've fun trope. Yeah.
I've had some people say enemies to lovers, which there is a little bit of that. I wasn't really going for that, but just the banter.
Right.
He takes her hunting and she's all mad about it. And she's, if you've ever been in a deer stand with a man, shout out to my cousin. He's an avid hunter. Like I remember one time wanting to go hunt and he got on to me. I knew not to wear makeup. He had schooled me on that.
Okay.
He got on to me wearing deodorant. He squirted a squirrel spray in my hair because he could smell squirrel pee in my hair because he could smell my shampoo and it would. I was like, oh, what have I gotten into?
That's a whole different world.
Yes. So
that's a
so
whole
Jack
different world.
And she's like, do we not have prettier guns? You know, do we not? It's very much just
oh,
a
that's
funny
awesome.
Dynamic when the two of them are together. So
I love that.
And that
that's
was
so
fun to write.
That's
yes.
so much fun.
We
that's
all know
awesome.
Both extreme, if you're, yeah.
So is the series still going on or is it wrapped up?
Yes. So this is where my ADHD comes in. We have Hunting for Love. Then we have Chicken About Love, and these characters will show up in the other books. That's what I love about writing about series. So you'll see, and if you read them in order, you'll kind of know. You can read them in any order.
Right.
People have done that based on, hey, I'm really excited about this trope or whatever. But it just may be like, hey, these people are already together or whatever.
Yeah.
This is Hammered by Love. They're fixing up a home together.
Nice.
And the Cutting Out Love I mentioned.
Okay.
Geared for Love, the little Phoebe girl. Who
I
loves
like
goats.
Your titles. Is that a goat on that one?
Yeah. Yeah. She has like a hobby farm of goats and
fun.
Does goat yoga and is a masseuse. So she's very eccentric little chick. But,
okay. Nice.
And then I'm writing, which is the most anticipated, everybody's telling me, I'm writing the book called Guilty of Love. And Sheriff Bradley Manning is what got me into the Cops and Writers Facebook group. He's one of everybody's favorite characters. He first shows up in Christmas in Dixie, which is the first of my Christmas series set in the same town. And he's pining over his ex, who's the main character, and he's kind of snooty to the city boy she's dating. And a lot of people, he gets redeemed at the end, and then you see him in all these other books and every series. So people, he's just kind of funny because if you ever know anyone, it's like they're so cocky, but they're also so lovable.
Okay.
At the same time. That is Bradley. Yeah, he's
So he's getting his story finally, huh?
Yes. And everybody's awesome. And there's a girl in town, Ashley, who they always kind of flirt and they're both very good looking in town and everybody are flirty with everyone, but they kind of always, and she is always on again, off again with the town banker and he doesn't treat her well. And they're mainly off again. It's kind of like, if he needs a date, he'll just call her up and she'll go. And Bradley kind of comes in and saves her from all that. So
nice.
guilty of
Okay.
love. They solve a little crime together. But
Fun.
that book is half written, but I really felt the urge. This is where the ADHD comes in. I have a book, another series starting in this same little area. Mom Squad is that book. The first
Fun.
Of it is my single Southern Mamas. So it has kind of a Steel Magnolias vibe.
Nice.
Like, you know, the single moms that have piled together and kind of help with
nice.
The school and all the stuff they're going through. And I've wanted to write a baseball book for years because I love
fun.
Sports romance, and I just couldn't get into hockey like everyone else because
yeah.
The only ice around here is an RT. You know,
right, right.
But we're a big baseball family, and I'm like, I'm just writing. I'm ready. And I've kind of put Bradley on the back burner to write Mom Ball, but I'm having a blast. I was writing it before I got on here with you. My son plays ball. My husband's kept coaching, and just all the funny, imaginable things with 11-year-old kids and baseball and
yeah.
parents. And it's,
I
mean,
have
it pretty much writes itself. It's
nephew.
Just,
I guess he's a grandnephew or great nephew. I'm not sure how that
yeah.
all works.
Great
who
nephew,
is,
Bradley.
Yeah. Who my nephew's son, I guess. And he plays ball, and I love seeing all the pictures of it. And
oh yeah,
it's such a thing in the South.
Yeah.
Well, probably everywhere. Baseball seems to be pretty universal.
But like hockey has blown up, and I'm like, I've read some, but I just can't bring. I'm like, that's not me to write that. Even though it would.
Do you
probably
guys have
sell,
hockey in Alabama?
Even though you, I don't think so. I mean, I think there's maybe some rec league, maybe in like bigger cities, maybe Birmingham or Huntsville, but it would be indoor and
right.
It would be, it's not a popular, we're pretty much what I call the big three. We're football, basketball, baseball. And then there's a lot of soccer.
Yeah.
Anything you can do outdoors and see, because we're pretty, you know, we have season around. Yeah.
That's, so that's same with us. We have a professional hockey team over in Tampa. And that just kind of makes me laugh. It's like, it's got to be so expensive to keep that ice cold.
Yes.
It's not like you can open the doors and keep it cold. So
yes, but like you get it. Like where we live, it's just not. And y'all probably have more water sports, which is cool. Like maybe sailing or that sort of. Yeah. But we just don't have a lot of, you know, ice related.
Yep. Especially
so like,
growing up, that was not a thing.
I'm like, I'm gonna do like what I set out to do. I'm gonna, you know, my what I always say, there's so many great authors, so many great rom-coms that are same heat levels mine. I'm always recommending, and people like, if they want to know how mine's different, it's very small town southern.
Yeah.
I mean, if you've ever stayed one full day in Alabama, you'll get it. It's that you
that's
know,
awesome.
But that's my little, I guess, my little secret ingredient. So
nice.
I'm like, you know, I keep the books for baseball. My son's played for years. I can do that. You know, this is my sport to write.
I like authentic Alabama. That's a good place to be in the niches. So that's awesome. So what are you reading right now?
Oh gosh. Okay. So I'm audio. I try to keep an audio and then a physical book at the time. Audio, I just downloaded, gosh, I'm terrible with titles. I think it's called, and I apologize, Emma St. Clair's hockey book, Just Don't Fall. That's it, Just Don't Fall. I've been reading through that series. A lot of fun authors that write similar to me write that. So it's just a fun, you know, books to follow, plus a little bit of just, to me, kind of research, like, you know.
Yeah.
Their characters and stuff, because they write similar to me, but I enjoy them. But that's a good series, their little hockey series, the Appies, hockey team that they made up. But
fun.
I'm listening to that, and then I'm reading. I say I'm in my nonfiction reading era. I don't know how I got into that. I blew through Fans First by the guy who started the Savannah Bananas. That's a good
I
one.
I love those videos.
Yes. So if you're in, and of course baseball, but if you're a baseball fan, it's fun. But if you're any kind of business, any kind of marketing, it is one of the best marketing books I've ever read. Just
how
his
interesting.
Tidbit
okay.
of how he builds, how he connects with his fans, and how the team connects with the audience. It's just awesome. He's brilliant, I think.
I haven't heard of that one, so I'm
Jesse
curious
Cole.
To read it.
And then I just started reading Skip the Line. It's a nonfiction as well. And it's basically one of these, I think because I'm in my 40s now, it's one of these I heard on a podcast. I'm a big podcast junkie. Mm-hmm. It's, I heard it on a marketing podcast, like where there's a, I guess, a hypothesis that, no, that's not the right theory, that you need to put 10,000 hours in to become an expert in.
Right.
You've probably heard that. Mm-hmm. And he's kind of debunking that, like how you can skip the line in certain areas.
Oh.
Just how you rewiring how you think about topics, or maybe, like he said, layering different skills. And I kind of thought about that. Like, maybe I think of my background or my, you know, I've got a lot of knowledge already on baseball or Alabama or whatever.
Right.
Like that helps me write that more authentically.
When you're not coming in at zero.
Yes.
With every new thing that you do. Yeah.
Like if I wanted to write a cozy mystery that was like a medical mystery or something, like I just, you know, I wouldn't know where to, I'm not saying I couldn't do it, but it would be.
It would be more of a challenge than a Southern baseball one.
Exactly. Yes. So,
but
there's people out there who have that, you know, wheelhouse, and that's, and they can, I always think the more, I guess, you have personally to bring to a book, it makes it better. And I don't know if it's just me because I'm such a people person, or I read it too much into stuff. But a lot of times when I read a book, I can tell if there's that little extra off, you know, maybe like this person's actually had this job, or this person's kind of lived through what this character's doing, or it just brings to it, I think. And
I
adds
agree.
Another one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the books that you feel completely kind of enmeshed in.
Yes.
I agree with you on that. That's really cool.
There's only one book I wrote that wasn't in a small town, but it was. I kind of cheated. I was in a series with other authors, and it was a sweet romance, not necessarily a comedy. And I tried that first, and I kept getting reviews. This is the funniest book in the series, because I was trying to hold back. And I'm like, I love to go. Because this is, you know, I was trying to, like, I guess,
rein it in.
It didn't work. Yeah. But that book, No Time for Traditions, it's a Christmas series, and it's a sweet little series. It's the No Bride series is still up in KU, but we wrote it, and it's basically a group of women, like these powerful women in New York that are into their career, or they make a pact to not get married. And
okay.
Of
course they do.
But most of the books took place in New York, and they had to have so many scenes in New York, and I've never been to New York. I want to, but I haven't, and I was terrified.
Yeah.
So I was Googling everything I could. I was watching YouTubes. I was like, so I had my certain scenes in New York, and then she went home to Alabama for the rest of the book. I'm like,
phew.
But if y'all want a good book, this is what I have to do.
That's so funny. I love it. Yeah. It's hard to, my series is set in Nashville, and I had written the whole first book before I was able to go to Nashville. And
but I love Nashville. Yeah.
Nashville's a really fun area, area. Uh-huh. And so I get there and I was just like, oh my gosh, it's completely different than I was expecting. And I'm so glad I visited before I put the book out.
But I was terrified because luckily we had, and of course some people had actually seen New York, but we had a style guide, and we had pictures shared and like a Pinterest board, like different things, like this is what the bar/restaurant where they all gather looks like. Kind of what's on the menu. Here's what, like, kind of the downtown area. And I was like, okay, I can work with this.
Yeah. Yes. That's so funny. And it's funny because I think New York, there's parts of it that are small town.
Yeah.
Even though New York City's a big area.
Like so many things.
Yeah. The different neighborhoods are kind of their own little small towns, is how I've heard it described. So
it's cool. So I'm like, maybe
that is cool.
I'm in that area.
That's awesome. Well, Casey, thank you so much for joining me today. This has been so much fun talking to you.
Yes, I've enjoyed it.
Thanks for joining me today. If you'd like to be part of the Read Across the U.S. Book Club, I'd love to have you join us. There is a link in the show notes. So just head down there and click, and we will welcome you in. So see you in the book club, I hope. Have a great day, and we'll see you next week with a new episode.